things I want to mention to you about writing that kind of inventory and what the challenge is at the end of it. When you write inventory about principles that way, the net result of it is that you don't wind up knowing who you are. You wind up knowing who you aren't. And I can tell you from watching people write that kind of inventory and from my own experience that that's a little disarming when all of a sudden you're left with all this information that doesn't tell you anything except who you're not. And the first question that arises when you find that out is, if I'm not this, who am I? As soon as you write that kind of inventory, you go from having this very narrow view of life to almost looking through a wide-angle lens. And all of a sudden, where we didn't think a whole lot of life had anything to do with us, that it had no application to us, we find out that almost everything has application to us and that the world is a much wider place than we had ever imagined, and that we have application all the way across it, and that we don't have the slightest idea what we have the capacity to do. That's a very frightening place, but it's a very rewarding place, and it gives us the opportunity to step out into the world and take risks with things that we would have never taken risks with before. So don't be dismayed by what happens when you find out there's a big empty hole there. All right? That big empty hole is the ability is the opportunity for you to fill it up with meaningful information about who you are. And once you get to that, you find out that the world has much greater application for you. It may give you the courage to go out and really try things that you would have never attempted before because you were convinced that you couldn't pull it off. See, all of that's the result of the ego. And, most people think the ego is a way that you flatter yourself. And it's not at all. The ego every drunk I ever met will tell you, you can't succeed and you're not good enough and nothing's ever going to happen and you'll never amount to anything and that you can't pull anything off and if you try it, you're going to look foolish and everybody's going to hate you and all that stuff. That's the ego. Okay? And this doesn't destroy the ego, this deflates the ego. And it gives you the opportunity to have a much clearer view of life and opportunity. You know, I have people that come up to me all the time going, how'd you ever do what you do? When you don't believe that the world has application for you, you will never see opportunity. You just won't. Because it won't make any sense to you and you won't think it has anything to do with you. But once you decide that you have much wider application to life, then all of a sudden you'll start seeing all these opportunities that are coming past you. And I will tell you from my own experience that this world is absolutely chock full of opportunity. And if you don't think you've ever had a chance at anything, it's because your goddamn mind is closed. Thank you.
I really wish you'd quit pussyfooting around this stuff, don't you? The hell don't you say what you think, right?
That's the problem.
We're going to break for lunch at 11:30, and Jaime didn't think we were moving quite fast enough here, so we'll go on a little bit here. 12:30, I'm sorry. I'm still on Indiana time. Hell, I missed that by 2 hours. Fifth step, the more I do them, the more I find out that it's more and more important to me to find out who I'm doing them with. And the only way I could find that out was by taking more than one fifth step per inventory, if you will. There's a line in the book that says we thought well before deciding which person or persons with whom we're going to take this vital step. Suggesting we can probably take more than one step, or at least with more than one person. And my first experience with that was actually 20 years later. Before then, I would take them one at a time with one person at a time, and that was beneficial, not necessarily knocking it, but when I took that inventory with Paul at 20 years sober and in a lot of pain and a lot of foolishness and the biggest shame I had in that particular fifth step was that I hadn't really gone beyond the seventh step up until that point at 20 years sober. And so I'm swapping fifth steps with guys that had a great deal of experience, more than I did. First guy I did it was with an Irish name of Dennis O'Brien, and his inventory sounded just like mine. The same stuff we were doing wrong, the same things, the misunderstanding of who we were and what we were and all that. But the time I'm done, I'd done it 9 times over a weekend. I had taken it with who had some feedback for me, not just through their inventory, but from past inventories and things that they could share with me that they had done that fit into that. And I found then that there was many people with long-term sobriety in AA who really thought they were doing the deal. And somehow it had gotten sideways. Speaking for myself, but I met several others over the years that's been true. So the idea of the multiple fifth step was I got multiple comments about what I got feedback from different people, and sometimes the feedback was about the same thing. So hearing it from different people, the same subject with that, and what they had found and what they'd done about it and that sort of thing. The result of that weekend of doing those fifth steps was real quickly, and I hate to do this now because there's more to it, but real quickly we sat down with three or four of them and or more, I don't remember. And we did step 6 and 7 within the hour that the book talks about, and they helped me write an amends list. They had better memories than I did. But I think now, looking back on it, the fear I had about somebody was going to know all my secrets and all that, well, first off, was there was a lie right there because I didn't write down all my secrets. But the biggest mistake I did was really looking around because I really wanted to take my fists up with somebody that wasn't going to talk. Can you imagine that? We're going to find somebody in AA that's going to keep their mouth shut. Are you shitting me? because it took me a long time to learn that my secrets are what are keeping me in trouble. And the more people that know my secrets, the better off I am. And so the solution to this fifth step stuff is right there in front of us. We talk about this for a reason. And I have found it to be more and more helpful and all that because I could get around some of those guys that I took those fifth steps with 20 years ago. In fact, I did up at Paul's funeral. I went to the LaGrange meeting and some of them were sitting there. And we were talking, and there weren't any secrets. There wasn't any catching up. Hadn't seen some of them for years. And so the idea of the fifth step is more than that. But it still takes the work that Bob talks about here, the finding out the lies in our lives and what we aren't with that. I used to take those fifth steps with Paul on occasion. I always dreaded his feedback. Paul had a way of expressing things to you that you couldn't get out of. There was just no way to pussyfoot around anything he said. It was just so straight on and in your face. And before he said it, you knew you were guilty of it, and it was time to deal with it. And I got to where I loved that. If I went into a fifth step with what I was written, it was vague, and I didn't have the answer to it. After we had talked, I had the answer to it, and based on his experience. So my best advice I got about the fifth step is, first off, have the inventory and be ready to go. There's something that happened to me. I've never spent a lot of time writing inventory. I'm not one of those guys that sits down and after 2 weeks from the time I've started, you will not hear me say I'm writing inventory, because I'm done. And that's not bragging. It's just I'm finding all this stuff and I can't wait to vomit it. You know, it's time for it to go. And quick, I've never spent a great deal. Even those first ones didn't take long with that. So anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on. But the fifth steps can take longer. And it's not something you just hurry to do to get done. What do you got?
Right. I'm inclined to say that if you're in inventory, don't stop. Do you know when people get a little nuts when they write inventory? You've noticed that? Do you know why? Because all you have is the problem. So all you've seen once you write inventory is where you've been wrong and how messed up you are. And until you move on, that's all you're presented with. So it's no surprise that you're going to be a little off balance in the middle of it. You know what? I hear a lot of people say, you know, as it relates to writing inventory, if you're going through hell, don't stop. You know, some people want to hesitate and start building a house.
Take a nap.
Yeah, so I mean, the book describes that as a fact-finding, fact-facing process, and it's like a commercial inventory. You find the what you got in trade, and if you've got some damaged goods in there, then get rid of them promptly and without regret. That doesn't mean you got to hold on to it before it goes. It just means get rid of it, move on. There isn't a lot of drama in this. You don't have to have a lot of drama in it. Just get rid of it. So when you write inventory, it's really helpful if you do it for a prescribed amount of time per day.
Right.
Thank you. I feel much better now. God. Wow. Now I can go home. When I fifth stepped, I had mentioned to you that I was not looking for friends. And Don Pritz became a close friend, as Gary did. And one of my worst fears was letting them see who I was, because then I knew as soon as I told them what kind of life I'd been living, that they'd go, you probably shouldn't hang around with us anymore. And so when I finally fifth set my first inventory with Don, it was with the assumption that when I had told him all the dark and ugly things that I had done in my life, that he would get up after the fifth step and say, "First and foremost, I don't want you anywhere near my wife or children." And secondly, I would prefer it if you wouldn't let anybody know that I'm your sponsor. We ought to keep meeting to a minimum here in the future. And I was prepared to be rejected. He just threw me. He got up and he came over and hugged me. I think he even kissed me on the cheek, of course. You have no idea how much I used to protect my masculinity. Oh, God. And he told me he loved me. And that he was delighted that I had completed this part of the program and now it was time to move on. I'd never even considered the idea that someone who had seen all of that stuff would want anything to do with me. And we remained close friends until he died. I guess the thing that a lot of us get hung up on in fifth steps is the take it to the grave stuff. That usually has something to do with sex. Just so you know, there's only so many ways you can do that. Unless, you know, you're on a spaceship and you have a bank of lasers or... I'll tell you one of the funniest things that ever happened to me. We had a guy in our meeting one day, and we have regular meetings about sex inventory. And we were discussing the sex inventory, and this guy just finally became so overwhelmed by his own emotions that he jumped up in the middle of the meeting and said, "And anyone in this meeting that hasn't done it with a farm animal is a goddamn liar."
Was that the rodeo here?
I can't even remember who. I remember him doing that.
He told me a milking machine.
And everybody just kind of staring at each other going, "Did you do that?" "And what kind of an animal was it?" And it was... we think we're so unique and... who or what or whatever we were engaged with. And it's all the same. You don't need to be embarrassed about it. Everybody does stuff like that. And if you get it out, you don't have to carry it around anymore. So when you fifth step, it's a better procedure. It's a more comfortable procedure if you take the worst thing in your inventory and talk about it first. Okay? And don't be surprised if whoever you're fifth-stepping with said, "Yeah, I did that." Okay? So the trick is to unload that stuff. And so just get in there and do it. It's like a Nike commercial. Just do it. And when you get past it, all the better. That's all I have to say about that.
While you're working on that, I was going through the work with a bunch of guys, and I don't know, probably about 16 years sober. And I went in to write some inventory, and I sat down, and it was one of those times when you sit down and you know something's wrong. You ask God to help, to make it clear. And when you put your pen on the paper, you still don't know where it's going. And I wrote down the names of three fellas that I'd been in high school with. And the minute their name showed up, I remembered what it was about. And it was something that I hadn't thought of from the time the incident took place. And don't know where it would have been. It showed up in the resentment list, and I guess that was the appropriate place. But I was shocked when I'd written it down. I was a real skinny kid growing up. And when I was getting into high school, they called me Bone Rack. And about what I was and all that. But I wanted to show them how tough I was anyway, so I tried out for football. And they just knocked the hell out of me. They just really slammed me around. And we went to a football camp, and it was held up at a Boy Scout camp in the mountains up above Laramie. And it was one of those places where you stayed in these big 8 or 10 man tents. And then there were community showers and latrines between place and all that. Well, we had the whole damn mountainside to ourselves, and so we just wrap a towel around ourselves and go take our showers after practice and that sort of thing. And I had done, and I'm coming back after taking a shower, and these guys grabbed me and they real quick blindfolded me, and I don't know where the towel goes and it disappears. And next thing I know, they've tied me down to one of those army cots like that, and I'm spread eagled on that, and still blindfolded, and they're dragging wet ropes over me, telling me they're snakes and all of that, and I'm just so completely exposed, literally. I mean, been so skinny and short-bodied and all of that, and just so. I left there, and I went back, and I finished the football season, and I never had another thought of that until I was 16 years sober. And I'm sitting there writing that inventory, and I came up, and I came out of my office, and Julie was in the other room. She says, "You look like you've seen a ghost." I said, "I just saw three of those bastards." And and so I told her the story. And she says, "You've never told me that before." And I says, "This is the first time I've even remembered it in all those years." And that does not mean I wasn't being fearless and thorough when I was writing all those previous inventories with that. But don't be surprised if something like that doesn't crop up later on and all that. Incidentally, something must have changed over the years, because I've been to my 40th and 45th and 50th high school reunions, and I didn't smack any one of them. But, I doubt if they remember. I doubt if they do. But I remember sitting there, and I had a group of about 10 or 12 of the nastiest redneck guys I ever knew that I had to go fist step that with at the in that particular workshop. And I'll never forget that. Because I'm not altogether telling you guys that story, and that was put 16 from 45. That was a long damn time ago with that. And so I never forget sitting there sharing that with those guys. That might have been where the guy brought up the milking machine or something. I don't remember where it was, but they got pretty honest in there. So.
Before we go, I have lunch. I'm going to tell you a short story on myself. I was in a meeting several years ago, and There was a young lady in this meeting, and she was talking about how promiscuous she was when she was drinking. And when it got around to me in the meeting, I looked at her and I said, "Where the hell were you when I was drinking?" And she said, "I wasn't born yet." And she was right.
New material for an inventory, right?
Right.
So I guess we can go have lunch now.
Yeah, let's go eat.